Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Jeff Horchak, filling in for Jordy Holtberg here on the Jordy Holtberg Show this afternoon from 2 to 4. We are glad you could be with us. There is so much to talk about in the world of sports. And every time I fill in for Jordy or anybody else, I always say, well, there's lots going on in the world of sports. There always is. It just seems like every time you think it's a slow time, boom, something happens. Something happens. Somebody gets suspended for PEDs. Somebody wins a lottery. Somebody gets fired. Somebody gets hired. Somebody signs. Somebody hits a grand salami in the bottom of the ninth to win the game. Somebody dunks on somebody. 360, you know, spectacular dunk. Something crazy happens. Clint Domain, you know, buys me hamburgers for lunch. Something crazy like that, you know?
Trust me, that is very unusual. I mean, like I said, hey, you know, before you bounce out of, like, the Acadian area, I think that we're going to have to make that happen.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I've announced like, on 103.7 The Game. I probably haven't because I've filled in a few times, but...
No, I think you did. I think you did. Last week whenever you were with Ben at the Tap Room.
Okay,
by the way,
right.
Ben's going to be back
right.
there today, right. 4 to 7, Bumper Bumper Sports.
You're right. I did. But I'm moving to Monroe. I got a job at KNOE, the CBS affiliate there in Monroe, to be the evening anchor, 6 and 10. So I'll be... My last day in Lafayette will be the 31st as far as the KLFY, and then I move June 3rd. So... I'm looking forward to the new adventure, the new journey, but at the same time, it's going to be tough because I love Lafayette. I love Acadian. I love the people. I've lived here 12 years, so I've met a lot of great people, made so many friendships and developed.
You even met me.
Even you. Well, yeah, exactly. If I would have come here, I never would have met you. We've become good friends. Just so many good people here, and I will miss it. But, you know, in this business, when the opportunity comes and it's the right one, you got to take it. And blessed to have an opportunity to go up there. Maybe an offer I can't resist. They made me an offer I can't resist.
So you can't refuse?
Can't refuse.
So basically you had the Godfather in there?
The like, Godfather.
The Godfather of
Monroe is hiring me. Right, right. The Godfather. They have him up there. And then Duck Dynasty is basically paying me.
So basically that's the – it makes sense that I'm a old man Willie Robertson would be the Godfather of Monroe.
The Godfather. You know what's funny, Clint, is somebody gave me a – Psy blanket says, "Hey Jack," and it has his face
yes.
all over. They gave
back
me that blanket like, 8 years ago. All right.
Yeah, that was when it was at its peak, man.
Yeah, and now, just 8 years later, I'm moving to their hometown of West Rose. Yeah. So was that a sign or not? I don't know. I was looking at it the other day, going, maybe this was a sign, and I just didn't pick up on it. But hey, I'm looking forward to going, but I will miss this area. But I'll be back. Only 3 hours north, so I'll get a chance to come back and visit for festivals and different sports events. But you're probably wanting to hear more about sports. That's why you tuned into The Game. So let's talk sports. We got a pretty good show lined up for you today. We were able to get some heavy hitters to come on and talk about a lot of hot topics in the world of sports. So coming up in just a few minutes at around 2:15-ish, we're going to talk to Sharif Ishak. He is sports anchor and reporter at WDSU, the NBC affiliate in New Orleans, and get his take on how the world of basketball, pro basketball in New Orleans is changed dramatically over the last few days with the Pelicans winning the lottery and what type of options they have, because they have options galore now that they own that number one overall pick. Also, we'll talk with Kevin Folt coming up later in this hour. He's got a charity benefit coming up at Fast Eddie's. It's a ping pong tournament. It's going to be on Saturday, and he's going to talk a little bit about that, and we'll fill you in on that. May want to attend that because it should be a lot of fun. He's bringing in a lot of former athletes to play in that tournament and have some fun. So it all goes back to help a football camp that he puts on to help kids pay for that so they can go and don't have to pay out of their own pocket. So good cause. It's going to be a great event. We'll talk more with Kevin about that coming up later. And also, we're going to get Ken Trahan on. Ken Trahan is a longtime legendary sportscaster out of New Orleans. He used to do the Saints pregame, postgame on WWL Radio. He now is the CEO of CrescentCitySports.com. He also has the top prep football show in the state on Friday nights, the original prep roundup with Ken Trahan, where he goes all across the state, checks in with live reports and all the top high school football matchups in the state. He's been doing that for years. It's the best show on radio as far as live updates for high school football around Louisiana. He also does a lot of other events. He runs the Saints Hall of Fame Museum. They have a charity, a golf tournament coming up pretty soon as well. I believe it's this week, and we'll get his take on that. So he's very involved with New Orleans sports and statewide sports, very knowledgeable. We'll also get his take on the New Orleans Pelicans situation. And he wrote a really, really interesting article on the future of that franchise after they won the lottery the other night. We'll get his take on that. And he also has some tidbits in there that I didn't know about the new GM for the Pels that I think you'll find very interesting. So we'll touch more on that with Ken Trahan. We'll also talk with the King to finish out the show, George Faust, of course, sports director at KLFY, get his take on the raging Cajun baseball and softball teams as they prepare for postseason play. The Cajun softball team is headed to Oxford for the regional this weekend, and baseball will wrap up their regular season up north in Monroe against the Warhawks. So we'll get his take on both of those teams and how they're going to be set up going into postseason play. The Cajun baseball team, as you and I were talking about earlier, Clint, looking like they could get in there as an 8 seed if they take care of business this weekend. All you got to do is get in. Once you're in, if you get hot, who knows? So that's the key for them. Softball has had one phenomenal year. I mean, softball's only lost four games all year. What, 25-0 in the Sun Belt?
Yeah, undefeated in the Sun Belt Conference, which probably speaks a lot to the depth and the talent in the conference. And I think that was definitely a big reason why they got snubbed in the Selection Sunday show. But wound up getting a hell of a draw, probably going to wind up advancing in the Super Regionals, because it feels like to me Chattanooga, you got Southeastern Missouri State, and you've also got Ole Miss in there as well. And I feel like that's a lot better draw than what you have had in the last couple of years, especially with Big Bad LSU the last couple of years in Baton Rouge. I think that's been a big thing that everybody's looking forward to, especially from a Cajun's perspective. A lot of the players after the Selection show were just so glad that they weren't going to wind up heading to Baton Rouge for a third straight year.
Yeah, I tell you, all that Coach Glasgow has gone through this year with losing his daughter and that horrible accident, and just, he's had a lot on his plate, and he's taken over a new program a few years ago. So this was his first big year. So he had a lot on his plate trying to transition to a new city, new program, new job. He loses his daughter. He's had a lot to deal with this year, but I would love to see this team send him out the right way and finish out the season, because they have really, really played well. And I believe they're on a 27-game win streak right now?
Yeah, 27-game win streak. The last loss they had, fun fact, against McNeese State.
Yeah, so they've had a phenomenal year, and they hope they just keep it going with a regional win over Ole Miss and just keep moving on. It'd be nice to see them get back to Oklahoma City. I went to Oklahoma City twice with the Cajun softball team. The first year I moved here, 12 years ago, I went with them, and that was the year. That was Ashley Brignac's freshman year. She was the number one prospect in the country coming out of high school as far as women's softball. They signed her, and she had a great year that freshman year. They went to Oklahoma City, and she pitched them to a victory over Florida, and then they eventually got eliminated, but they won a couple games. They had a great run that year. And then I went back to Oklahoma City with them several years ago, and they didn't win a game, but they got back. So I've been to Oklahoma City twice. It's an amazing city facility that they really go all out. It's a great venue for women's softball, and if you've never been, it's definitely something to see. And the Cajuns have been there numerous times, and hopefully they'll get back this year.
Yeah, and you're bringing that up about Ashley Brignac. That was actually a big talking point that me and Ben had on Monday about stellar freshman seasons. When you look at Mondo Duplantis and all that he was able to do, we had a caller call in and bring up Ashley Brignac's freshman campaign. And I might as well throw it your way as well, Jeff. What was your favorite kind of like freshman season out of any sport, any athlete that you've ever seen? College, obviously.
That's a good question. I mean, Ashley had that was an amazing year. She was just absolutely unhittable that season. Mondo's had a great year in the pole vaulting track world. I'm a little older than you, and I was really young, but you remember Chris Jackson's freshman year at LSU in basketball? He may have had the best freshman year that we've ever seen from a freshman basketball player as far as his ability to just take over. And then, look, Zion Williamson, what he did this year at Duke.
Yep.
I mean, he came right in and just established himself as the best player in the country right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate, everybody was already hyping him up to be probably the next LeBron. He was going to be one of those generational talents before he even set foot on the court at Duke. And then from that point on, the legend of Zion just kept on growing every single time.
Yeah, he's a special talent. I mean, it's every few years you see a guy or girl that comes in and just absolutely lives up to the hype and dominates. It's not easy. Making that transition from the prep game to the college game, especially major college sports, whether it's softball, baseball, football, basketball, track, whatever. But it happens, and when you see it, it really stands out. And those are just a few. There are many more you could talk about. But those are just a few that off the top of our head that pop up. You know, Patrick Ewing had a pretty awesome freshman year when he got to Georgetown as well, but it was so long ago, a lot of the listeners may not remember that. Michael Jordan, of course, wasn't like he was scoring 30 a game his freshman year at North Carolina, but, of course, he ended up hitting the game winner for the national championship in New Orleans that year, and that really cemented him as an emerging star in the ACC years ago. There's been some great ones, but, yeah, I mean So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Cajun softball and baseball. Again, we're going to get more in depth on that with George Faust to get his take on what he thinks will happen with the baseball team as far as seeding in the Sun Belt tournament and how far he thinks this softball team can go. And I'm pretty sure he's going to say, "Hey, the sky's the limit with them." The amount of pitch, you know, we always talk about in baseball and basketball or baseball and softball. It's all about pitching when it comes to the postseason. If you got the arms, you really have a legit shot. But you have to have enough arms to be able to get you through all the hurdles that come up. You can't just have one arm because it's not. You need really about three good arms or four. And I know that's going to be also key for the softball team is the rotation and what he's got this year as far as being able to space them out and give them the space they need and rest time they need in order to strategically take down the opponents they have. So that's also very important. The NBA playoffs are rolling. We've got the Eastern and Western Conference Finals as well. We've already had Game 1 in the West, Game 1 in the East. The Golden State leads Portland 1-0, and Milwaukee's up 1-0 on the Toronto Raptors. They fought back last night. They were down pretty much the whole game, came back late, and won by 8. The Greek Freak, he is such a fun player to watch, and I really like the Bucks. I think I mentioned this on Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben last week. I really love the Bucks, and I love everything about the organization, the city, how they've embraced the team. They have great tradition there. Of course, they won an NBA title in the 70s with Lou Alcindor, but then went many years of mediocrity, and now they've got a team that's a contender. They've got one of the elite guys in the game on their team. In fact, he's an MVP candidate in the Greek Freak, and I don't even try to attempt to say his last name because it's so long. He's got, 16 letters in his last name? Can you say it?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's how you do it.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, Antetokounmpo.
All right, it's not as hard as I thought it was.
Luckily, like I said, I've heard it enough times to where I've started to adapt to it.
Okay, I just say Greek Freak, but Giannis is easy to say.
Yeah, Giannis is, like, for the most part, unless I have it right in front of me, when I'm putting together like the sound sheets for Ben and Jordy, I usually just put Giannis because it's like I don't feel like remembering how to spell that name out.
Right.
Unless I have it right in front of me. That makes it a lot easier when it comes down to it.
Giannis, what a talent. I love watching him play, and they got it done last night. Brooke Lopez also had a huge game, and that was key for the victory for the or was it Robin? It was Robin Lopez.
No, it was Brooke Lopez.
Was it Brooke? Okay.
Yeah, it was Brooke
I get
Lopez.
It mixed up, even though they are brothers. It was Brooke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Brooke Lopez.
He had a big game, and that helped put them over the top. So you got the Bucks up 1-0 on the Raptors, and you got the Warriors up 1-0 on Portland. We'll hear from Giannis, also known as the Greek Freak, and Brooke coming up a little later. And also we'll hear from the Warriors, who are up 1-0, Steve Kerr and Klay Thompson. But we're going to take a break first, and we're going to come back in a few minutes and talk with Sharif Aishak. He's the sports anchor and reporter out at WDSU, the NBC television station in New Orleans, get his take on the Pelicans and all the news that's come out of New Orleans concerning the lottery over the last few days, and get his take on what the future of this program really is, and will Zion be able to take this organization to the next level? We'll take a break and be back with more. I'm Jeff Horchak, filling in for Jordy Holmberg here on the Jordy Holmberg Show.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Holmberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
I'm gonna be iron like a lion in Zion. Iron, lion, Zion.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Jordy Holmberg Show. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy this afternoon. Glad you'd be with us. It is time to talk some more sports here on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. We're talking New Orleans Pelicans basketball. Of course, they won the lottery several days ago. Second time in about 7-8 years they've won the lottery. It shocked the world because they had a 6% chance to win, and they got it. So now the world is theirs. They have so many more options. We're going to check in now with Sharif Aishak. He's a sports anchor and reporter at WDSU-TV, the NBC affiliate in New Orleans. He's been all over this. Of course, he covers the Pelicans on a daily basis and has some insight for us this afternoon. Sharif, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Jeff. How are you?
Doing great, buddy. I know you've been extremely busy the last few days. Going into the lottery, Sharif, I know that, you know, anytime you have a team with a rough record and you get into that mix, you have a shot to win. But the Pelicans only had, what, a 6% chance to actually win the lottery, and they did. What's your take on it? I mean, is this is like manna from heaven. It just fell right in their lap.
I call it good karma, man. You got to think about what's happened so far this season or this year for the city of New Orleans. The no call on January 20th, 8 days later, Anthony Davis demands a trade. Del Demps gets fired. The Stones, you know, cancel on Jazz Fest. You want to throw in Fleetwood Mac. I mean, something good eventually had to happen for this city. And by the grace of God and anything anyone else should believe, man, they won that lotto with a 6% chance, and they deserve it. I mean, they played their cards right when it came to the Anthony Davis saga. Adam Silver said, hey, you can't just bench him, and they didn't bench him. They played him when they had to play them. They listened. I mean, I guess you could call it good karma, but I think this is great for the league, Jeff. I mean, a lot of the national guys out there say, oh, he should go back to school, or he should go play overseas. He should try to force his hand and not go to the Pelicans. You got to understand, not everybody needs to play in New York. Right. L.A., those dysfunctional franchises right now, or Boston. This is good for the league. This is going to be great for the league. You want every team, or as many teams as possible, small market, medium market, large market, to be successful, because that's good for your brand.
Absolutely. Sharif Eishak, sports anchor reporter, WDSU in New Orleans, talking Pelicans basketball with us. Sharif, you know, like you said, there's been a lot, it's been a rough season for the fan base, too, but I read that since they won the lottery, ticket sales, season ticket sales have kind of gone up immediately because people think, okay, they're probably going to draft Zion Williamson. Now there's hope for this organization. Does that surprise you or not? Even though they haven't officially drafted him yet, already people are buying tickets.
Oh, absolutely. You got to think about it this way. When Anthony Davis was the pick seven years ago, they only sold about 1,500 season tickets, mm-hmm. from what I was told, and it's already doubled. It's already doubled, and we're not even 48 hours in. So that just shows you what kind of impact he's going to have, not only on the basketball court, just off of it as well, Jeff. I mean, you got to think about the jobs that, you know, are going to be created. Mm-hmm. You look at that ticket office, how crazy they went when the Pelicans got the first overall pick. This is an impact that's going to go more than, you know, on the court. Off the court, a lot of people are going to feed off of this, and this is huge for New Orleans, and you're from the area, Jeff. You know how it is. You know how it is for any sports team to succeed in this city. It's life. It's culture. I mean, they love it. It's personal to them. They love when everyone is doing well, like the Saints. So this is big. It's big time for the city.
No question. Sharif Eishak, sports anchor, reporter, WDSU, talking Pelicans basketball with us. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, Louisiana loves their sports. They love their teams, and they have a real – diehard fan base. And, you know, it irritates me, Sharif, and I know you probably deal with this a lot in New Orleans, that people always go, well, New Orleans is not a basketball town. Obviously, it's a huge football city, and it always will be. But when you have a good product on the court, it is a basketball town. When the Hornets were winning and getting in the playoffs and almost got to the Eastern Finals back in the day, West Finals with Chris Paul and Tyson Chandler and Peja Stojakovic. They just never could get over the hump with San Antonio. I went to a few of those playoff games. That place was packed and it was rocking. But you have to have a product that's good that you can sell to the fans. And if you get that, people are going to show up. And you know that.
You make a great point, Jeff. 2008, they were up 3-2 in that Western Conference semifinals against the Spurs, and, you know, didn't finish it out, had a chance, you know, to go to the conference final. And they couldn't do it with CP3. And here we are 11 years later, and they have David Griffin, Gail Benson. You know, she promised whenever this AD saga went down and Dale Demps was fired that she was going to turn this around at some point in time, and she's done it. And she's given David Griffin the keys. Everyone said, well, the Saints get treated much better than the Pelicans. They're the stepchild that no one cares, mm-hmm. about. They care now. Look at this. Gail gives him the keys, the blank check, and says, go do your thing. This is your baby now. You only answer to me. It used to be Mickey Loomis' thing, and now it's just David Griffin and whatever else he does. They mean business, Jeff. They want to put a winning product out in the court. They want to shut everyone up nationally who says that this can't be a basketball town. And you're right. It takes winning. last season when they swept the Blazers and got to the second round again, this place was crazy. Mm-hmm. And it goes with winning. David Griffin knows that. He says that, hey, we bring fans by winning. We have to start winning. They won the lotto. They're in the driver's seat right now to make things look very pretty.
Let me ask you, Sharif, now that they have the number one pick, they can do a lot of things with that. There's options galore, many more options now than if they wouldn't have gotten that top pick. It's pretty much said and done they're going to draft Zion Williamson unless something crazy happens in the coming weeks. But what about Anthony Davis? Where do they go from here? You know, there's been stuff thrown out there saying they're going to try to work a deal with him and keep him here, although I don't know if that's going to happen. And then if you trade him, what's the best situation for the Pelicans to get from him? What do you think they're going to do? A lot of options on the table.
All right, we'll go through it in phases here. So next week, Griffin, Gale, and Drew Holiday are going to go meet with Anthony Davis and Clutch Sports.
Okay.
Let me preface it by saying you know what Clutch Sports has done to Anthony Davis. He's a really good guy. He is not a bad guy. They just put him in a bad position with a lot of bad advice, you know, in this last 7 or 8 months. So it's been ugly for him because of those guys. They put him in a sticky situation. They're going to do their best. They're going to present the whole case of how and why he should stay here. Just to remind you, Jeff, it's not going to be greener pastures if he does go to another team. You just don't know what's going to happen. It could be even worse for him if he forces his way to New York and L.A. Those are dumpster fire organizations mm-hmm. right now. But they're going to do their best. They're going to do their best to try to convince him, hey, we're going to have Zion. We're going to get some cap space. You have Drew Holiday. We're going to build a team around you two guys. And you're going to be a dynamic duo, a 1-2 punch that nobody else in the NBA is going to have. I'm sure that's their pitch. They're going to continue to sell him on, you guys are young, and we're going to continue to build. But I don't think that's going to be good enough. I don't think this number one draft pick was going to help, period. I just think their mind is made up, and he's going to go, and he doesn't want to be here. And if you're David Griffin, you can hold on to him until February, the trading deadline, or you can just play it out. But that's a risk you don't want to take if he's not going to sign that max contract. So the next best option becomes trading him to the Knicks or the Celtics. The Knicks, of course, have the third overall pick, and you can get Ja Morant or R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett, you know, he's a pretty good 6'7 shooting forward, shooting guard they have him listed as, but he would be a very good wing. And you can have two guys for 10 years. And you can really build from the bottom up now with two solid players and Drew Holiday and get back Knox, maybe Mitchell Robinson. You can get some more picks from the Knicks who got some picks back from the Porzingis trade and ship Anthony Davis up there. But the problem becomes, Jeff, does Drew Holiday want to stick around and work with a bunch of 18, 19-year-olds?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's turning 29. He's in his peak. He's a great two-way player. Does he want to sit around for that? The next option becomes the Celtics. If Kyrie leaves or stays, it doesn't matter. I feel like the Celtics might still need a superstar on the team. It's a big market team. They can't survive without a superstar, I don't think, in one of those large markets. So they're going to be fishing. And maybe Danny Ainge says, I don't care if Kyrie leaves. We need to bring a big superstar here. And he throws Tatum. It has to start with Jason Tatum. No doubt Jason Tatum has to be in the deal if Davis is going there, even if it's for 1 year. You've got to get Tatum, Smart, or Brown with it in a couple picks. My gut, what I would want to do to keep Drew Holiday happy, because he is right now the face of the organization, I would want to do the Celtics deal because Tatum and Smart and those guys have already played in the playoffs. Last season they were way better because I think Kyrie absolutely destroyed them, the team chemistry this season. I would want the Celtics deal because they're super young with playoff experience.
Sounds good. I mean, that I like what you're saying about being able to get this team younger and just more talented and build for the future, because it's all about building. Sharif, can you hold on for one more break? We'll take a quick break and come back and finish up.
Sure.
Okay, we'll take a break. Be back with more with Sharif Eishak, sports anchor and reporter out in New Orleans. We'll talk more Pels. This is the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Holtberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Jordy Holtberg Show. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy. Today we're talking basketball. Of course, the New Orleans Pelicans now have the number one overall pick in the upcoming NBA draft next month, the lottery. They've won it twice in 7 years. It's amazing. This time, a huge shocker, as they only had a 6% chance. And they're in the driver's seat to draft Zion Williamson, the young man from Duke who is all the rage in basketball this year, broke onto the scene right out of high school out of South Carolina and just took the country by storm. amazing young talent, but he's only 18. He's not even 19 yet. He's still a very young guy. Sharif Ishak joins us again. He's a sports anchor reporter at WDSU-TV in New Orleans, giving us the feel for the city right now that Zion mania may be hitting the Big Easy. Sharif, tell me a little bit more about Zion Williamson, because I know you guys have done a lot of research on him lately now that you know that it's a pretty good shot that he's going to be the face of the franchise for years to come. I've heard what a lot of people have heard about him. He was a phenom in high school and then broke onto the scene at Duke. And really, he was a phenom before he got to Duke because of all his highlights and dunks. But do you know anything about Zion that maybe the average person doesn't in the research you've done lately?
You know, the funny part is a lot of people didn't think his game might, you know, translate well because he was dunking on little kids in high school. And they were like, there's no competition. Well, the dude has heart. The dude has drive. So when he got to Duke, he really showed everyone that he was more than what they thought he was going to be. I mean, there's some people who thought that, not everybody, but
yeah.
He put up some great numbers. I mean, you're talking about close to 23 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals, even, you know, a couple of assists a game. The guy can actually pass the ball really well. That's the thing maybe many people don't know about. He can shoot. Like, people are trying to criticize his ability to spot up from, you know, 16 to 19 feet. He can shoot the ball pretty well from outside, 68%. Now, I know a lot of those are on dunks and, you know, short bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
68%, that was an ACC freshman record. 68% shooting is the third best all-time in college basketball for any 20-point scorer. Now, just think about that. That's pretty solid numbers right there. If you're third best ever with your shooting percent. So
absolutely.
I think you're getting a generational talent. I mean, now you just can't mess it up, but you know, he's a humble guy. You know, he's done everything the right way. When you hear these rumors of he should go back to school, no, he would never do that. In fact, he was on the T. Bob and Jordy show, his stepdad, saying we never had that discussion. He's like, we're excited to come to the Crescent City, which is great. You know, that's what you want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
You want to hear people say you're pumped. But he's a good kid. I mean, he does things right on and off the court. That's what you want. You want somebody who's a model citizen, who's going to be a leader, who can reinvigorate your franchise, reshape the franchise, and that's what you get. That this guy is a natural-born leader, and this is exactly how you should reshape your franchise. It's someone who can lead and be that guy to attract others, too.
Yeah.
He did a good job in attracting others. And R.J. Barrett, you know, brought him. They both came together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can just see how people feed off of him.
No, I've been impressed with him. I mean, the little bit I've seen from him this year, obviously, when he seems like he's very poised for a guy his age, and obviously a lot's been thrown at him, but he seems to handle it pretty well. And, you know, I think New Orleans is one of those cities, too, that they love their sports, as we talked about earlier, but they really, if you embrace them and you want to be there, they're going to love you till the end. And I think that's where going to a place like New Orleans would separate him from going to a place like New York or L.A. where you can kind of get lost in all the other hype and all the other rigmarole that's going on. But he will be the guy. He'll be their son, basically, coming in there as a youngster at 18. And, you know, they can build around. It should be fun. I'm excited. And this may be the best thing that's ever happened to him. Like you said earlier, Sharif, just because you're going to – in the national media was like, oh, he needs to go to New York. That's the best place for him. And I'm thinking – what about New York is good for this young guy? You know, other than the fact from a marketing standpoint, you're in the biggest city in the country, but it's not like the Knicks organization has been tearing up lately. They've been a joke, and the Laker organization's an absolute train wreck right now too. So it's funny to me, Sharif, of the four teams that got into that top four, the top two smallest markets are the ones that got the top two picks, you know?
Well, and deservingly so. The people who keep saying that he needs to be in a large market, the Knicks haven't won a championship since 73. The Lakers did win in 2010. A lot of people try to live in the past. You know, that's, mm-hmm. It's great if you want to live in the past and talk about who played for those teams. But that's, you know, that doesn't make anything great for the present and future.
Right.
Those organizations are dumpster fires. James Dolan has run the Knicks franchise into the ground. Magic quit on the Lakers. They're being run into the ground. LeBron, his career is essentially over. I mean, no one wants to play with him. So I don't understand why they keep saying that. Some of them. It's not all of them.
Right.
It's just a handful of people. I mean, you need your small markets to thrive if you want the NBA to be good. Look at Giannis. He's in Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
How great is that? I mean, that's what you need. You need something like that. Memphis for a while, they were a hot team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for them to get a top two pick, that's awesome. You want to make sure that these franchises are thriving, or else your NBA, the NBA isn't going to be a long-term success. And this is a great. This is great for the product overall for both those teams to be 1-2.
Yeah, great. And you got Damian Lillard in Portland. That's not exactly considered a huge market either, and he's a tremendous talent. So you're right. You need – it's a star-driven league, so you need the smaller market teams to have some stars in order to draw people and also to be able to be competitive. If you don't have star talent in the NBA, you're not going to win. I mean, that's the bottom line. You got to have the stars to win. And I think it's good, too, for the league. It should be fun to see how this all unfolds, where Anthony Davis ends up, how Zion comes in, how they build around him, and then David Griffin, the new GM, how he's able to build this team. He had success in Cleveland with LeBron and being able to build around him. Hopefully he'll have the same type of success in New Orleans. We'll let you go, Sharif. I know you're very busy, but thanks so much for the time, my friend. It's always good talking to you, and thanks for fitting us in this afternoon.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, and congrats on your move.
Thank you, Sharif. Thank you. We'll stay in touch, buddy. Take care. Thanks.
Sure.
All right, that's Sharif Eichshack, sports anchor and reporter at WDSU in New Orleans. Great friend of mine. I've known him for many years, and he does a great job down there with Fletcher Mackel in New Orleans, covering the Saints, the Pels, Tulane, UNO, Nicholls State, Southeastern, you name it, LSU. They're on top of it, and they do a great job. So thanks to Sharif for stopping in this afternoon and talking a little Pelicans with us. We're going to talk more Pelicans basketball later in the show with Ken Trahan out of New Orleans as well, because this is still a very hot topic, and there's a lot of different angles you can come at this story. And I know that's what people want to talk about as well. We're also going to talk with Kevin Falk in a few minutes. Falk will join us to talk a little bit about his event he has coming up this weekend. It's a ping pong tournament. You don't hear many of those, but Kevin's putting one on in Lafayette Saturday. We'll tell you what it's all about and why you should be there. It's going to be fun, and I'm going to be there. I'm looking forward to it. Clint, you stopping by? You should stop by. 5 to 8 at Fast Eddie's. Yeah.
Jinx. Anyways, yeah, I might want to make my way over there.
You play ping pong? Are you a ping pong guy?
Not really. I don't think I played ping pong like way back mm-hmm. in the day, but it's been a long time since I picked one up.
Well, you should come by, man. I'll play you. Cool. I'm almost as good as Forrest Gump. Not quite, but I'm getting there.
That's saying something, man.
Yeah, man. Forrest could play some ping pong. What do we have? Just a few minutes, about a minute till we go to break?
I mean, we could probably take a break now. That way we can go a little longer with Kevin.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's go to break, and then we'll come back with Kevin and talk about his event, and then we'll wrap up the hour and get ready for the second hour of the Jordy Hultberg Show. This is Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy Hultberg right here on 103.7 The Game and 103.7 The Game. We'll be right back.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Jordy Hultberg Show. I'm Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy on this Thursday afternoon here in beautiful Karen Crow, Louisiana. We are going to be joined now on the radio by Karen Crow's favorite son, Kevin Falk. He put Karen Crow on the map back in the day playing a little football, and now he is still a proud, proud native of Karen Crow. And he's got a big event coming up on Saturday out at Fast Eddie's. It's for a great cause. Kevin, good afternoon. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
How you doing, Jeff? Man, I could just picture you bobbing your head to that music that was playing in the intro, no?
You knew it, man. You knew what you know me too well. I was jamming on a Thursday, man, because the weekend's around the corner. We got Kevin on talking a little sports. It's a good day to be alive. Let me ask you, Kevin, tell me a little bit about this event you got coming up at Fast Eddie's. It's a ping pong tournament put on by Kevin Falk and friends. Now, in the past, you've done rock, paper, scissors tournament. Now you're moving to ping pong.
Yeah, you know, tried to rock, paper, scissors thing. It didn't work out a little bit. Now we're trying to ping pong. We did pretty well last year, so we want to try it again this year.
Yeah, it should be fun. Tell me a little bit about the details. You've got a lot of former athletes, guys that you're friends with. They're going to be coming and attending. It's from 5 to 8 at Fast Eddie's Billiards right there off of West Congress Street, or 5 to 9, I should say. Who do you got coming?
Wade Ritchie, Jacob Hester, you got Nick Brissett was supposed to come, but he'll be in camp. You got Ivan Hill, you're the former player. Arnold Miller, a lot of former guys that I played with at LSU. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is going to be
nice.
There, who I played with in New England.
A lot of your LSU Skylar guys, Green, yeah.
Right. Skylar Green, Eric Alexander, Coach Raymond going to be there. Corey Raymond, Dwayne
nice.
Thomas, Brandon Mitchell. It should be a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, got a good crew. I see on this list, is Rondale Mealy coming or not?
He was supposed to come, but he didn't realize that his son was graduating on the same day, so he got a good pass by that one.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I remember that's your former teammate in the backfield. You and Rondale did some damage there back in the day. That was fun to watch you two guys work together.
Yes, indeed. Rock Miller, man. He was one of the best dancers on the football team for us, though.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know he was a dancing machine. The pride of Destrehan, huh? He's a Destrehan guy.
Yes, sir. Definitely.
Yep. Well, tell me a little bit about now. All the proceeds from this, they go to a pretty good cause.
It goes to the Trinity Foundation, which is a foundation that helps other foundations out that's in need. So it's a real good cause.
Now, you having a football camp, too. You still having your football camp this summer?
Yep, the last weekend in June, I think it's the 28th and 29th, if I'm not mistaken, at LCA. It's going to be like our 60th annual.
Mm-hmm. So this also helps, right, kids that maybe wouldn't be able to pay for that. This kind of takes care of that for them as well?
Yes, sir. We've been doing it for 16 years, man, just for that reason you said, man. Kids can't go to those big camps where, you got to pay $300-$400. Mm-hmm. We just want to do something to give back to our community.
We're talking with Kevin Falk here on 103.7 The Game. He's got a Kevin Falk and Friends ping pong tournament coming up at Fast Eddie's Billiards in Lafayette Saturday night. That's from 5 to 9. A lot of his former teammates and former LSU Tiger football stars are going to be there, so should check it out. All the money goes to Trinity Foundation. Also helps out pay for campers to go to his football camp this summer. You talk about football camps, Kevin. When you were growing up, like you said, they had maybe not as many camps as they do now, but still it was costly. A lot of kids just could not afford to pay for the admission to those camps, and now you've got a lot of camps like the one you're putting on, which allows kids, money's not really an issue, it's just a matter of can you get the child there and let them enjoy and learn from it.
Right, exactly. And just experience. Kids experience from meeting other kids.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to get that as much as possible with kids.
Well, how's things going for you at LSU right now? I know it's kind of the off season, but football is going to be right around the corner. Actually, it's never really an off season for football, and things are turning. You've been actually touring all around the state for the Tiger Tour, correct?
Yes, sir. I've been traveling, Coach O, man. That's been a wonderful thing, man. You get a firsthand look and a firsthand vision of how he works. His energy is nonstop. He's recruiting nonstop. We're driving or we're flying. He's calling recruits. Talking to their parents, just trying to build that relationship because, the way they changed all the recruiting rules and stuff and the dates and when you can commit is a little different. So you got to get on top of that real fast.
Yeah, it's always changing. How do you feel about this LSU football team? I know, season's it's a little ways off, but then again, before you know it, you snap your fingers, summer's going to be gone, and it's going to be here. What's your take going into this season? This team has a huge game with Texas early on, which is going to be a big test for them to see really where they are. What's your take early on?
We're definitely going to be tested early. We're going to see what our offense is going to be able to do. I think that's one of the biggest tests because a lot of people understand that we changed the offense up a little bit to kind of feature our athletes, the receivers that we have, the running backs that we have out of the backfield. It should be very fun and interesting to see how we've grown since the spring.
Quarterback position is something everybody always wants to talk about, but they got a senior there who proved a lot last year, and he has some moxie. This kid took some hits and really showed me that he's a tough leader, and that's what you want in that position. You think he takes it to the next level this year?
I really do think so because he's been in the offense a year. The offense really hasn't changed that much as far as terminology, but as far as, multiple receiver sets, we have changed that a little bit. So he's very comfortable now and understands it a lot more, and he's ready to go.
Joe Burrow has the reins to the LSU offense this year. And, of course, defensively, they lost a few guys to the draft, but still a really good defense coming back this year, especially some guys in the secondary look like they're going to be real headliners for this team. Should be fun. I mean, let me ask you, Kevin, a little bit about Coach O, because you have been, like you said, going around the state with the Tiger Tour, so you're getting to see him interact with fans all across Louisiana from, Shreveport to Monroe to Lake Charles to to South Louisiana, all over. And LSU has a fan base all over the state. I mean, anywhere you go with inside the boot, you got fans. You even go into Mississippi and parts of, you know, Texas, East Texas, and Florida. You got Tiger fans. So you can find them pretty much everywhere. But what has it been like for him this season, you think, going in now that he's gotten a year under his belt? Does he look more confident just in dealing with the media and the fan base?
He's always been confident, especially in, you know, knowing what his guys can do. So that has never been lacking in him, but he's always been confident. But like I said earlier, he's that ball of energy. Your team is who you are. And our team, you know, has a lot of energy just because of what he brings to the table to even start it off.
Awesome stuff. Kevin, we'll let you go, but thanks so much. Go ahead and plug your event again one more time at Fast Eddie's on Saturday.
Well, the Kevin Falk and Friends Ping Pong Charity Event, sponsored by the Trinity Foundation. You know, we're going to play some ping pong. Come challenge your favorite, your former football player from LSU in the league. You know, just come challenge and have a good time and show off your ping pong skills.
I heard Forrest Gump may show up, too. Is there any truth to that?
I tell you what, they have some Forrest Gump that came last year, so we're going to see.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the time. Look forward to going out there Saturday and enjoying some ping pong with some good people. Thanks, Kevin.
Appreciate it, Jeff.
You bet. Kevin Falk, 3-time Super Bowl champion, Karen Crow native, LSU All-American. I mean, the list goes on and on. The guy's one of the best that's ever come out of the state when it comes to sports. And he's also a good guy giving back to the community as well with these type of events and then his football camp. So it'll be fun to get out there. I'm going to head out there Saturday and try to play a little ping pong. I actually am pretty good at ping pong. I know that this is maybe breaking news to the masses, but I like ping pong. I played as a kid a lot. I had a buddy of mine that had a ping pong table. We'd go over there and play a lot. And it's a great sport, a lot of fun. And, hey, maybe someday I'll be fortunate enough to have my own ping pong table, and then I can invite Clint over. We'll have a ping pong party, and I'll show Clint my table tennis skills. Because you said you've played ping pong, but you're not great, right?
Oh, hell no. I have not played in a long time. Like, emphasis on that, long time.
We need to come out there Saturday. This would be the time to dust off the table tennis skills and get out there
dust
and play.
Dust off the ping pong paddle?
Dust off the paddle. Bring your paddles. I heard you had your own paddles. You have cases for them, everything, just like pool sticks, right? Back in the day when you were really good, but then you stopped playing, so your skills got a little rusty.
Yeah, I think I might have to go get some new ones.
Well, I want to see you out there Saturday, Clint. Like Kevin said, he's got his Kevin Falk and Friends ping pong tournament coming up at Fast Eddie's Saturday from 5 to 9. A lot of former Tigers will be out there. It should be a lot of fun. I mean, it's for a great cause. The Trinity Foundation, as Kevin said earlier, helps a lot of other charities out. And also, some of this money goes to help kids who maybe can't afford to go to his football camp or get there. This will help them go and enjoy that camp and that event. So check it out Saturday at Fast Eddie's, right off of Congress, West Congress, 5 to 9. Should be a lot of fun. We have another hour of the Jordy Holtberg Show coming up. We're going to talk more Pelicans basketball because we know you, the people, want to talk more Pelicans hoops. There's so much to talk about when it comes to them. Ken Trahan will join us, sportscaster out of New Orleans, one of the best in the biz. He'll give us his take on New Orleans Pelicans basketball. Also, he's going to tell us some really interesting information about David Griffin, the new GM for New Orleans, and something that you may not have known going into the lottery. I found this out by reading an article, and I want to get his take on it. It was actually his article that he wrote. I want to get his take more on this because it's really interesting information that the average person probably did not know, but it may have played a factor in the Pels getting that number one overall pick in the lottery. Fun stuff. We're also going to talk with George Faust, the King of Sports in Acadiana. He'll be talking Cajun baseball and softball with us as well in the second half of the show. It'll probably be about 3:45-ish. We'll have Papa Faust on, and then 3:15-ish, we'll get Ken Trahan on. Before we have Ken on, we're going to talk more about the NBA playoffs. We want to hear from the Greek Freak coming up as well about the big win last night over the Raptors. I watched the game last night, the first half, before I had to hit the sack, and the Bucks were down basically the whole game, and then I go to bed, wake up, and I see they won 108-100, and Brooke Lopez had a monster game, and the Greek Freak did what he had to do to get it done. So should be fun to hear from those guys about their Game 1 win in the West Finals, or the East Finals. And then in the West Finals, you've got Golden State up over Portland 1-0. They took care of business in their first game. They pretty much led all the way. So I'm curious to see if Portland can make this a series. Even despite not having Kevin Durant, the Warriors rolled through Game 1 of their West Finals matchup with Portland. We'll hear from some of the players from all four of those teams coming up in the next hour. Down to the final four of the NBA playoffs. You got college baseball postseason coming up soon. College softball regionals are coming up. Cajuns playing in Oxford this weekend against Ole Miss. There is a lot going on. The lottery, the NBA drafts next month, so we'll see what happens there. Pretty much a sure bet the Pelicans will take Zion Williamson number one. But then after that, who knows? There may be some trades. We'll see where Anthony Davis will be headed, or if he'll have a change of heart, shock the world, and decide to stay in the Big Easy. I doubt that's going to happen, but you never know. Crazier things have happened. We didn't think the Pels would win the lottery either, and they did. So who knows? Who knows? Stay tuned for that. We'll take a break, and we will come back with another hour of sports talk here on the Jordy Holtberg Show. I'm Jeff Horchak, filling in for Jordy on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
The 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Holtberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Holtberg.
Hi, everybody. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy Holtberg this afternoon. We've got an hour left of the Jordy Holtberg Show before Bumper to Bumper Sports kicks off from the Tap Room with Ben Legg. So stay tuned. A lot of great sports talk coming up for you in the coming hours here on The Game.
Ben Love, not Ben Legg.
I'm sorry. Ben Love.
You're thinking about the old weatherman for Carolina.
Yeah, he actually still works with us part-time. Ben
Love.
Oh,
he does? Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't
Ben
know
Love.
That.
My fault. My fault. Ben Love. Ben Love, get some love. No, Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Right, that's at the Tap Room.
I don't know if Ben Legg could fill in for two hours with sports
yeah.
talk.
If that's the case, we need to let him know now. Give a little heads up. Ben Love will be at the Tap Room from what, four to six because of
LSU.
LSU baseball.
Yeah, LSU baseball final.
Depending on the baseball schedule, depends on how his show goes, right? Normally it's 4 to 7, but if there's baseball, it's 4 to 6.
4 to 6, 6:35, whatever. Anyway, the wind blows sometimes, but since it's LSU-Auburn final series of the year, it's going to be starting at 6 o'clock pregame, 6:30 first pitch, and it'll be right here on 103.7 The Game. Yeah, so yeah, he'll be cut at the knees, basically, as I like to put it.
Yeah, he has a great setup over there at the Tap Room. I usually
join him
from 5 to 5:30. We go on and talk, and they got great drink specials at Tap Room, happy hour.
You'll probably head there right after this.
Yeah, yeah, and they've got great food over there, great wings. They've got flatbread that's phenomenal. They got a great beer. They even have great beer nuts, snacks, you know, if you want those.
Flatbreads are phenomenal. As a person who does not imbibe, I love me some flatbread, brother.
No, it's good. I really it's a great place. So check out Ben Love at the Tap Room from 4 to 6 tonight, and he'll be there live doing the show. So you can go by, say hey, and have a brewski and maybe some wings or some flatbread and talk sports. And Ben's got a jam-packed show, I know. He's always line up great guests and always great discussions when it comes to the world of sports with Mr. Love. So he'll be on tonight after the Jordy Holtberg Show. We've got an hour left here, and we're going to talk some NBA right now. We've got the West and East Finals going down. Both series have played one game, and right now you've got Golden State up 1-0 on Portland, and you have the Bucks up 1-0 on the Raptors. Let's start with the defending champion Warriors and hear from Klay Thompson. He talks a little bit about the bench and how they – hope to continue to step up.
Well, I mean, they're great. They've been the best professionals you can ask of them, making huge impacts these last couple games. They've proved people wrong, and hopefully will continue to do so.
Now, Klay Thompson is going to be a free agent after this season, so the question is, where will he be? Probably, I don't know. You think Golden State re-signs him? I know they're going to want to, but can they afford to? If Durant rolls, then they probably are going to re-sign him for sure.
Oh, most definitely. I think this is a guy, Klay Thompson, that's very, very loyal to the Golden State Warriors because of the fact that, I mean, this is a guy that was drafted by this team. I mean, we look at Golden State Warriors. People can hate all they want on the Golden State Warriors in 2019, but you got to look back at what this franchise was before Steph Curry and before Klay Thompson were the Splash Brothers. Mm-hmm. They built this franchise the right way. I think the biggest reason why people hate them is because, one, they win a lot, and two, the whole Kevin Durant situation, whatever, he jumped over there to basically chase a ring.
Also, you look at Steve Kerr, the coach for the Warriors, and he knows that the key to stopping Portland is stopping Lillard and McCollum, and he touched on that as well.
It's the reason why they're here. You know, it just wasn't luck. You know, they put the work in. They have built a good foundation, camaraderie with their team and coaching staff. They've done a really good job of continuing to build, get better each and every year with their core and getting further and further. You know, it starts with those two, and when they have tough shooting nights, you can't relax. You got to look forward to them coming out, looking ready to put the ball in a hole more going forward.
Now, as you can tell, Steve Kerr had a voice change there. No, that wasn't Steve. That was Andre Iguodala. He was talking about Lillard and McCollum. But we just threw a little curveball to you. You're like, Steve Kerr, is that? Yeah, that's Steve Kerr. He sounds like Iguodala now. No, I'm just kidding. Steve Kerr also touching on Lillard and McCollum, the two stars for Portland. You have to shut them down if you're going to win this series.
We're well aware they're gonna heat up at times, and we've got to continue to defend and follow our game plan, and you know, see if we can continue to build on game one. But things change; these series all change as they go, and can't ever get comfortable.
Now, if you remember, the Portland Trailblazers got swept by the Pelicans last year in round one, and then the Pelicans eventually got beat in the next round by Golden State. This year, you see the Warriors or the Blazers get to the West Finals, and who they face? Golden State. So everybody sees everybody again. The Pelicans had, of course, an awful season. A lot of reasons why, and everybody knows that, with Anthony Davis wanting to jump ship, and just didn't happen for them. But Portland's had a great year so far. It's going to be a big hurdle for them to beat the Warriors, and now they're down in a 1-0 hole. But with Kevin Durant beat up, it's still possible. Clint, what's the latest on Durant's injury status? When will he be back?
It's a calf strain. He's out for tonight's game, and it looks like he's not even anywhere close to being ready. Me and you talked about this. Possibly he could wind up maybe being out for the entire Western Conference Finals, because honestly, it looks like right now that the Warriors don't need him to do that.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if they think, hey, we can win this series without him. Let's continue to rest him and save him so he is good to go for the finals and we can make that run. We'll see. I guess it depends on how this series goes. If it gets tight or if Portland starts to pull away, maybe you bring him back. If not, you just rest him. But, yeah, tonight game two of the West Finals goes down in Oakland as that game tips at 8 o'clock Central Time as the Warriors are up 1-0 in this series. And we'll see. I mean, I think that personally – Golden State will probably win this series pretty easily without Durant. I think unless Lillard and McCollum are going to have to just absolutely take over. And if they do that, they have a shot. But if they don't, I don't think Portland has a shot in this series, even without Durant. And then you add Durant back in the mix, and I think they win this series in maybe five. What do you think? You think this series goes five or six?
I think it should go five or six, because I think you wind up seeing the Blazers step their game up in the next couple, because I feel like they just need to be able to try and bounce back after a rough start to the series.
We'll see. We'll see. Should be fun. Let's hear from the Portland Trailblazers as they get set for game two of the West Finals tonight. Let's hear from Damian Lillard. His team is still confident despite dropping game one going into game two.
I mean, we're confident to begin with. You know, this isn't our first time playing against this team. We know that we're capable of winning, and we know we're capable of winning on their floor. And we just know, after looking at, you know, breaking down film, we just know things that'll put us in a much better position to win. You know, it's not about, you know, us not having confidence. We saw things that we know we'll be in a better position, you know, and that doesn't guarantee a victory, but we know we can do some stuff to put ourselves in a better position.
That is Portland star point guard Damian Lillard on getting set for game two, and his team's still confident. You have to say that if you're Damian Lillard. You can't go, well, we don't think we have any shot in this series. And I think he believes. I think he believes they have the ability. They win tonight, boom, they're right back in it at 1-1. I like this series. I tell you, these two series, the West and East Finals, really interesting matchups. You have Toronto against Milwaukee in the East, you have two teams that are not perennial powers who are battling to get to the finals. One of those two is going to play in the finals. Toronto has never been to the NBA Finals, so that would be a first for their franchise, and the Bucks haven't been since they won it all in the 70s with Lou Alcindor. So you're talking about quite a few years. So it's been a while since either one of these organizations has been at this point, so it's exciting for both those cities of Toronto and Milwaukee. I've already told you my personal favorite. I'm pulling for the Bucks to win it all. I'd love to see them win it all. Hopefully they'll be able to get it done. Golden State, of course, the defending champs, the most dominant team in the last 6-8 years in the NBA, looking to get back to a finals and win. They are playing Portland, who Portland has not been a real factor for a while. I mean, they've sniffed the playoffs a few times and gotten in since Lillard was drafted, but haven't really been a real true contender since Clyde the Glide and Terry Porter back in the day, and they couldn't beat the Bulls, if you remember that. And Arvydas Sabonis at center. I mean, they had Cliff Robinson. They had a squad back in the day, but they could never get past Chicago. So they really haven't been a contender since then. They're in the West Finals. So it's interesting to see some of these newer teams get back in. And, of course, you have the one perennial lately, and that's Golden State.
It's that one team that's been in there for a while, Golden State. It's a lot like what we've seen with the Bulls. You brought it up perfectly. I think that's a great analogy whenever you consider the fact that that's kind of how the NBA's been over the last, let's say, 20 years or so, because you had, obviously, the Chicago Bulls dominating the 90s. The early 2000s, you had the Lakers with their three-peat, seemingly, if not for Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal not agreeing on anything. Possibly that could have been a lot bigger of a dynasty, and now you've got the Golden State Warriors, and their, I'm not going to say reign of terror, because they built it the right way. It's not like when we saw the Miami Heat for like 4 straight years make it to the NBA Finals and only, I think, what, win like 2 of them?
Right, yeah. It's, you know, you look at the NBA, and we've talked about this, liking opportunities for smaller market teams in the NFL, teams like the Colts, the Packers, the Saints, to have shots to build up and win championships and be able to compete against even the bigger market teams. You see the same thing in the NBA with Milwaukee, as Sharif Eishak mentioned in the last hour. And even Portland, I consider Portland a small market as well. Both those teams in getting into the Final Four of the NBA playoffs and having a chance to compete for an NBA championship is good for the league. We haven't seen the Knicks be a factor in the NBA since Patrick Ewing played, which has been a long time, and the Lakers haven't been anything since Kobe Bryant sailed into the sunset. So it's nice to see some smaller franchises, small market teams get a chance to compete at this level. I like it. It's good for the league. Hopefully more of it will continue. We'll take a break, come back, and talk more basketball, but this time we'll go back and talk Pelicans basketball with Ken Trahan of CrescentCitySports.com. I'm Jeff Horchak, filling in for Jordy Hultberg right here on 103.7 The Game.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers, and it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the Jordy Hultberg Show. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy this afternoon. We go till 4 o'clock here on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Joining me now is Ken Trahan, the owner and CEO of CrescentCitySports.com, also the sports director of WGSO 990 AM and WGSO.com, and he's also the GM and chairman of the board for the Saints Hall of Fame Museum. He is a very busy man, but we appreciate him taking a little time to talk some Pelicans basketball with us this afternoon. Ken, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
You bet, absolutely. Ken, I really enjoyed the article that you wrote about the Pelicans and their future and the franchise several days ago when they won the lottery. It was really well written, and you titled it NBA Draft Lottery Night for Pelicans Conjures Up Biblical Proportion Images. And you did a great job of tying in the history of this organization from Chris Paul to Anthony Davis and now to Zion Williamson and the marquee guys, and really it was interesting to me. One thing I also found interesting was the tidbit that you got about David Griffin and the tie that he wore for the lottery. If you could fill us in on that and give our listeners a little idea of how that came to be and maybe how you found out about that, because I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, well, Griffin, of course, has been an unbelievably fortunate guy. This is the fourth time he's won the lottery, and every time he's been considered a good luck charm. And on previous occasions, the guy that he worked with, Jeff Cohen, with the Cavaliers, had worn a specific tie to the lottery proceedings when the Cavaliers won the lottery. So Cohen no longer works for the Cavaliers, and Griffin called him and said, man, can we get that tie for this lottery procedure going on this week? Mm-hmm. And Cohen was glad to oblige, and what happened was Griffin got the tie, and he actually gave it to Alvin Gentry. Gentry's the one that actually wore it.
Wow.
And needless to say, they won the lottery again. So, and it was special. And then, of course, he told the story about the wooden angel from a season ticket holder that the Pelicans have that he brought with him and carried with him for good luck, and talked about the angel that he carried when he was in Cleveland from his own grandmother. And so all kinds of ties that bind there that led to good fortune for this particular franchise on this night. And then the biblical proportion story was just tying in the concept of faith and the concept of having these beliefs that certainly led to good fortune in this particular instance. So a lot of fun. And then just had a little fun with it, of course, in the process because, you know, Chris Paul was the letter C, you know, so BC, and then you had AD with Anthony Davis, and then Zion, of course, the biblical image that's mentioned on so many occasions as well. That would, of course, represent the player that's going to end up here, unquestionably, in Zion Williamson.
No, it was. It was a great article. If you haven't had a chance to read it, check it out. Go to CrescentCitySports.com, and it's called NBA Draft Lottery Night for Pelicans Conjures Up Biblical Proportion Images. Really interesting article and a lot of good tidbits. You know, Ken, the pro basketball in New Orleans, you know it as well as anybody, because when you were a young pup in the business, you were covering Pistol Pete and the Jazz at the Superdome. So you've been with New Orleans through a lot of the years of their franchises and some of the stars that have come through. Where is this organization right now? Because they've had highs and lows, although they've never really been a contender for a championship yet. Maybe that's around the corner. The Saints fans had to wait a long time before they finally hoisted that Lombardi. Where is this franchise right now?
Well, I think if you look at Golden State, you know, it took Steph Curry 6 years to win a championship, mm-hmm. you know, and I think as you look at some of the others in recent years that have had success, it took them longer periods of time, too. We know about Michael Jordan and how long it took him, mm-hmm. and he needed enough help to be able to do it. The same thing with LeBron James. So I think it's one of those situations where you've got to be able to go young. You tried the other way. You tried plugging in people that were veteran players, patchworking a roster to be competitive immediately, all to try to placate Anthony Davis. It did not work. There was a measure of success for one season, and that was it. And, of course, now Davis is going to be gone by all accounts. So the thing to do, you're the second smallest market in the league, act like it. And try to build with a young core of players that are less expensive that you can control for up to 4 years, and then become a team that can be not only fun to watch but ultimately a contender by building with that young nucleus. And I really think that's the way to go when you look at the scenario that exists for this franchise right now. Therefore, when you trade Davis, the assets that you're looking for are not so much proven guys and veteran guys. You're looking for young guys with talent and draft picks, because that's where you'll be able to get guys, grow together. The fact of the matter is that if Davis stayed, he's 26, Zion's 18. By the time Zion comes into his own, Davis will be older in the league and so forth. And Drew Holiday, what, 29? Same kind of story there if you keep him. And what I'm saying is not to trade Holiday, because he's a really good player and he's a leader and everybody respects him, but he does command a lot of money. And by the time that Pelicans could build into being something that's legitimate, well, maybe Holiday won't want to be part of that. So if you have a chance to move him and get some really good young pieces there, I would certainly keep that in mind too, although I like Drew Holiday and would like to see him on this team.
We're talking with Ken Trahan, the owner and CEO of CrescentCitySports.com, also the general manager and chairman of the board for the Saints Hall of Fame Museum. He's also the sports director at WGSO, 990 AM and WGSO.com. And he also has the top prep football radio show in the state on Friday nights, the original prep roundup show with Ken Trahan, where he goes all across the state, checks him on the top matchups. So Ken has got his hand in everything when it comes to the world of sports. Ken, let's talk a little bit about the options that the Pelicans have now that they have the number one overall pick when it comes to Anthony Davis. As you said, it just seems like he's burnt so many bridges and his team is hell-bent on him leaving New Orleans. So that probably will be the case. They'll just have to find the right situation. I've heard that the New Orleans brass are going to meet with Anthony and his team next week, but more than likely he's going to say, I still want to go, and they're going to have to trade him. They could do a lot of different things. There are a ton of options they have now, but like you said, try to go young, get draft picks, maybe pick up a couple young up-and-coming players and build from there.
Yeah, I think that that's the way to go. I just think that when you look at the big picture, is there a veteran player you could bring in that could make an immediate impact? Probably so. But at the same time, you've got your own issues here. Julius Randle's unrestricted, and the odds of keeping him aren't great, although you'll try hard to sell him. And then, of course, you got to deal with Alfred Payton, who's restricted, and whether you want him back or not. So you've got some decisions to make, and you've got a blank piece of paper, a brand-new guy to run the organization, and why not start over? I mean, I think the fans would completely understand. They're already buying season tickets at an alarming rate, roughly 3,000 sold in one day.
That's amazing.
After New Orleans won the draft lottery. So you've got the support of the fans. So go out and try to start over and build with a young team that's fun to watch, that's aggressive, and that grows together, as opposed to bringing in some tired veterans who have been there, done that, and make money and are basically short-term rentals. I just think that's the way to go. I think as you look at the teams that are in the NBA Final Four right now, they've built from within. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee built with two primary draft picks, and Giannis Antetokounmpo and, of course, Chris Middleton. Portland built with two number one draft picks, both of their guards, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. Golden State built with three of their top draft picks, and Steph Curry, along with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. That's how these teams got to where they are. They did it by going young through the draft and building with players. Oklahoma City had a good run for a few years doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. San Antonio had always done it that way previously, and they were very successful. And the thing that all of those particular cities have in common, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Oakland, California, you know, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you know, all these people into Portland, Oregon, they're all smaller markets. We're not talking about the major markets that have the major money and population base and television sets. So, and New Orleans obviously is that, because New Orleans is the second smallest television market in the league to Memphis. So to me, that would be the obvious way to go. It's not a surefire solution, but I think it's the way you go. But more importantly, I think that your fan base would understand and they would support it.
We're talking with Ken Trahan here on the Jordy Holtberg Show, talking Pelicans basketball this afternoon. Of course, they have the number one overall pick in the NBA draft next month, and more than likely Zion Williamson will be the pick, and then they'll go from there. Let me ask you a little bit about Alvin Gentry, Ken, because it sounds like Griffin's going to give him a chance to prove himself under new management before they make a decision. Were you surprised, or did you think they would keep Alvin around for another year or so?
I was not surprised, because David Griffin had worked with him before, so there was familiarity and respect that existed there. And it might not have been a very popular move with fans, but at the same time, look, Alvin Gentry is a pretty solid coach, and he's a real solid guy. No one would accuse him of being one of the top coaches in the league, not at this stage. And he's probably not a long-term solution. But given what he had to deal with this past year, he handled that situation as good as anybody possibly could have handled it.
Very true.
I just thought he was put through hell, and he handled it unbelievably well. And it's funny because a year ago, nobody was talking about him being fired or being a bad coach when he won 48 games and won a playoff series against Portland, who's in the NBA Western Conference Finals now. When he had his full deck, when guys were happy and playing together, good things happened. And they did it without Cousins, by the way. So he suddenly didn't become a bad coach in my mind. He simply ran into a bunch of injuries and then a guy that ruined the season in Anthony Davis. Davis not only ruined the Pelicans season, he ruined the Lakers season as well.
Very true. Ken, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate always dropping some knowledge on us here on the show. And take care, my friend. We'll be in touch.
It's good talking to you, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's Ken Trahan. Join us here on the Jordy Holtberg Show. Always good to hear him and talk to him. And, again, check out CrescentCitySports.com. They have some great articles, great insight on Louisiana sports. We'll take a break and be back with more. You've got us on 103.7 The Game and 103.7TheGame.com.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Holtberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Jordy Holtberg Show. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy on this Thursday evening here in beautiful Karen Crow, Louisiana, home of the Bears. the Bears, the Karen Crow Bears. It's good to be back with you folks, filling in for Jordy this afternoon. I want to thank Ken Trahan, as well as Sharif Ishak and Kevin Falk for joining us on the show. George Faust, the sports director at KLF, will join us in about 10 minutes to talk Cajun softball and baseball. But before we get back to that, we want to finish up on the NBA playoffs and hear from the Raptors as well as the Bucks. Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 went to the Bucks last night, 108-100. And Brook Lopez had a monster game. He was a big reason why the Bucks were able to rally back when they trailed pretty much the whole game and win late. He said, finally, they were able to break through offensively.
Yeah, I mean, we just don't quit as a unit. You know, we keep pounding and grinding. And, you know, and then we finally got there, you know. But there's no quit in our team. You know, I don't think it's really in our DNA at all.
Yeah, really, you know, Brook Lopez has really developed into a really good NBA player. You know, when he came out of Stanford, there was talk, oh, he's a big guy, seven-footer, but I don't know what type of player he's going to be. He's developed an outside shot now. I watched him drop a three in someone's eye last night. He's got some range now. He can step out. I mean, he's really a unique talent. Great pickup by the Bucks. I mean, he had a huge game. He was a big reason why they won last night. Obviously, defensive teams or opposing teams key on Giannis because he's an MVP candidate, one of the top two or three best players in the game right now. And he was able to make some shots late, but he didn't have a explosion night when he just went nuts. And that's where Brook Lopez was able to step up and give them an extra boost offensively, which put him over the top. And you got a guy in Brook Lopez who is not known to be a big-time scorer, although he showed last night when he's on, he's on. Brook was able to drop 29 points on the Raptors, and the Greek Freak had 24. Here is Giannis on getting the basketball to Lopez when he's hot.
You know, this is the Brook we all know and we all love. We want him to be aggressive, especially against the series. You know, Marc Gasol is trying to be active, he's trying to help a lot, and he's going to be wide open most of the time, and he's going to knock down shots like he did tonight. And especially when he's going, we got to find him even more and more and more.
You know, Brook only averaged a little over 12 points a game during the regular season. He had almost 30 last night, had 29, so a huge outburst from him, 12 for 21 from the field. He was 4 for 11 from three-point range, had 11 rebounds in 35 minutes, and the Greek Freak, Giannis, 37 minutes of play, 7 for 16 from the field. He finished with 24 points, 6 assists, and 14 rebounds. So you're getting Middleton also with 11 points and 11 rebounds. He had three guys get double-doubles last night for the Bucks, and they get the win 108-100 over Toronto. On the other side, Kawhi Leonard had 31 points for Kawhi Leonard had 31 points for Toronto leading the way, and then Kyle Lowry had 30. So those two guys, they're big guns. Here is Leonard on what happened in the fourth quarter, because that's where it all unraveled for Toronto.
A couple key turnovers. Missed some easy layups, some wide-open threes. Didn't play too well defense. Ended up scoring the highest quarter points in the fourth, 32 points, and offensive rebounds pretty much summed it up.
Yeah, that's where they lost the game in the fourth quarter. That's when Milwaukee was able to kick it in and pull away, and really that's what matters. You know, they talk about games. The Bucks outscored the Raptors 32-17 in the fourth. That's what matters, right, Clint? It's all about the fourth quarter in the NBA. They say don't worry about watching the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. It's all about the fourth quarter, and that's where the Bucks won it last night.
And even more so, I feel like for most of the NBA, it's always going to be like, oh, hey, the last 2 minutes of a ball game. That's mm-hmm. the thing that you're going to want to wind up watching more so than, say, the entire four quarters of a basketball game, depending on who it is. Obviously, if it's the Golden State Warriors, and they play in a team like the Pelicans, then you can wind up just skipping that game altogether.
Well, here's Kyle Lowry on losing the game after leading pretty much most of the way.
Pretty frustrating. Fourth quarter killed us. Our players in that fourth quarter, they got a little bit more aggressive. They made some big shots, made some big plays. Yeah, it sucks when you lose like that. But, you know, we had a chance, and we got to learn from it, make an adjustment. You know, stay even keeled, never not too high, not too low. Just look at the film and get better.
Now, see, Eric Bledsoe had a down night last night, point guard for the Bucks. He's a key guy with this Milwaukee offense. He didn't have a very good night. He was 0 for 6 from beyond the arc, 3 for 12 from the field shooting, only 9 points, and that is a down night for him. So they need more out of Eric Bledsoe. If Eric Bledsoe would have played better, the Bucks probably would have rolled in this game. He's averaging nearly 16 a game. He only had 9, so he was down last night, couldn't hit a shot. But, you know, fortunately, Lopez was able to step up Brooke and take some of the slack away from Bledsoe, who was having an off night. And that's what it's all about. It's all about having a team and having a bench that can take the heat off. You know, they have a good bench. Milwaukee's got a good bench. George Hill, you know, is a solid guy. They got 15 from Brogdon off the bench. So they've got a bench that can step up. This just seems like Milwaukee's year, Clint. I don't know what it is about this team, and I know Golden State's the defending champs and they are the favorite by and far to win this again. But it just seems like Milwaukee's year. What do you think?
I'd have to agree with you. I definitely think that's something that everybody's talking about is the possibility of the Bucks being able to make the NBA Finals. I think it really shows how much lack of real depth there is to the Eastern Conference. Because you look at recent years, it's always been the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James, the Miami Heat. For years, it had largely been like that. But I think what we're seeing with the Greek Freak, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Toronto Raptors as well, now they have Kawhi, I feel like there might be some stability. You might be able to have a lot more competition down the line because, of course, you got a 76ers, if they're able to keep that nucleus together. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Eastern Conference can wind up doing. Sure, it could be the same 8 teams make the postseason or what have you. But I honestly enjoy that a lot more than say, hey, we're just going to fast forward to see Cleveland Cavaliers win the Eastern Conference Finals for the umpteenth time.
Well, how about Mirotić? I mean, he played with the Pelicans. He came on, and he had 13 last night. He's another key contributor for this Bucks squad.
Oh, he was phenomenal for the Pels during that playoff run last season. The guy does such a great job in terms of just a scoring aspect. The guy's a hell of a shooter all the way around. I absolutely enjoy watching him play. Again, he's not necessarily going to be the guy to perform at the highest possible level, but I can tell you he's going to wind up making you look really, really good and keep you in competitive ball games like this one was.
No, he was a great pickup. Milwaukee's done a great job of building their team around Giannis, as Ken Tran said, and Milton, two of their draft picks, and they've got a good team, and they've got a bench, that some veteran guys that can step up and give them quality minutes. So, I don't know, just something about Milwaukee. I just feel like this is their year. Everything's come together, and granted, Golden State's the favorite, and they will be all the way through, but I just don't sleep on Milwaukee. I just think they have a lot to prove, and they just seem to be gelling together at the right time. And last night was a great example. They're at home, game one of the West Finals, a place they haven't been for a long time. And they get down the whole game, and they don't fold. They come back, own the fourth quarter, and win the game. So that shows me something this time of year when you can come back by trailing the whole game and get it done late when it counts and pull it out. So I like the Bucks, man. I've liked them for a while, and I think this may be their year. And it would be pretty cool to see them take home the championship. We'll see. Still got a lot of basketball left to play. Coming up on the Jordy Holtberg Show, we've got about 20 minutes left in the show before we go to Bumper Sports with Ben Love out at the Tap Room. George Faust, sports director at KLFY, will join us, and we'll talk a little Cajun softball and baseball as well to wrap up the show. So it's been a heavy NBA show, and that for a lot of reasons. We're into the East and West Finals, and also the Pelicans win the lottery a few days ago, so there's a lot to talk about when it comes to that. And you know, it's funny, Clint, because we talk about Louisiana being a football state, and that it is. Football is always going to be the king. But basketball is a topic that people like to talk about when there's something to talk about, and now there is.
Yeah, exactly. We're seeing a lot of higher level of intrigue whenever you look at the New Orleans Pelicans, and now that you have Zion Williamson and the possibility of having Anthony Davis stay around, obviously the odds of that are slim to none, and Slim's already left the building at this point. But I think you're honestly looking at this with a glass half full kind of optimism, where you could wind up losing Anthony Davis, but you're going to get a whole hell of a lot from him, and you get Zion Williamson in the NBA draft this year. That's huge.
No, it is. It is huge, and I think it's great for the organization. I hope that everything works out and they're able to be a contender quick, because I know basketball fans would like to be able to head down the interstate and watch a little pro basketball in the Big Easy and watch a couple young stars develop into what they hope to be elite players in the game for many years to come. We'll take a break, come back with George Faust, the king as we call him here on The Game. He's the sports director at KLFY TV and also is really the longest tenured sportscaster in the city right now as far as television is concerned. And he's been around for a while, and he knows his stuff. So we'll get his take on Cajun softball and baseball after the break. This is the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Holtberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
And it's time to introduce Your Highness, the King of Sports in Acadiana, KLFY's own George Papa Faust. Welcome in the King. Good afternoon, King Faust.
Hey, Jeff. I feel so regal when I hear that song. It makes me a little nostalgic.
It makes me feel like I did something right.
Yeah.
You're the king, man. I feel like we're introducing another segment of Game of Thrones here. You know,
I was thinking the same thing actually.
Yeah, it fits in. Hey George, let's talk a little bit about. We've got a few minutes here before the end of the show. Let's talk a little Cajun baseball and softball. Let's start with the softball.
Sure.
They're headed to Oxford to play in the regional against Ole Miss. This has been a special year for this team. I mean, Coach Glasgow's had a lot on his plate. He lost his daughter in that tragic accident.
Yeah.
He takes over, you know, a program that has a rich history of winning, and they go 25-0 in the Sun Belt. They've only lost four games on the year. They've won 27 straight. I mean, it's been an amazing year. But really, what will make this a successful season? You think, as far as in his mind?
Right. No, I think that he believes that. You know, they have the team that can go to Oxford and win that regional. I tend to believe that, too. I know Ole Miss, they have some pretty good players as well in that locker room there for Ole Miss softball. But I don't think Ole Miss is as seasoned as the Cajuns are. And I think that's because – you know, when they played their schedule, when they made their schedule, they were kind of on the short end of the stick, so to speak, mm-hmm. when they created their schedule a year ago. They put Baylor in there. You know, obviously Oklahoma's pretty good. But they didn't get to play all their games with Oklahoma. And Coach Glasgow talked about the fact that, you know, look, we thought maybe the teams that we were going to play out of conference, Cal, I think they played Oregon State, those teams were supposed to be top 25 teams this year, and they didn't pan out to be. So that kind of hurt their RPI with regards to thinking about, hey, we can host a regional. And some people are a little disappointed that they weren't able to host. But in the end, I think it probably works out better for them that they aren't hosting, because now if they win this regional and Auburn somehow wins the Tucson regional, then the Cajuns would host Auburn in a super. So there's all kinds of dynamics that play into it. I think it's a successful year for him. I think for the Cajuns right now. They do have a mission, though. We went out earlier this week before they left for Oxford and talked to the players. They don't care about that 27-game win streak. That's null. That doesn't mean anything to them right now, because their goal is not the longest win streak in the country. Their goal is to win a national championship. And so they've kind of put that on the side burner. It's a great little stat for us in the media, but for them, it's something that, that's nice, but that's not our goal.
George Faust joined us here on the Jordy Holtberg Show. George, you've covered a number of Cajun softball teams over the years that have made it to the College World Series in Oklahoma City. Does Glasgow have enough arms to get there, you think?
I think with what has transpired over the past, two or three months, with regards to summer, and people were concerned about him using summer too much. I think they've kind of built up a little bit of a bullpen, so to speak, mm-hmm. and can rely on another arm to get them if Summer, you know, needs to get a breather and you know, come out of a game. I know that was a big issue, and I think Summer can handle the load. The problem is what happens if she gets in a bind when she's facing off against Ole Miss on Saturday,
right.
and, you know, if both teams win and Ole Miss is timing her up and they just have her number on that night, then who are you going to bring in? And I think they've kind of done that with a couple of the pitchers that they have in their bullpen, and they're able to kind of broaden their horizon with regards to the circle and who's in it come right now, this postseason time.
All right, well, now let's turn the page and talk a little Cajun baseball. They're getting set for their final regular season series on the road at Louisiana Monroe this week, and then they get set for Sun Belt Conference play. What are they looking to possibly get in as an 8 seed? Is that kind of where they're standing now?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we were talking about the possibilities earlier this week, and they could go, depending on what happens, it could be crazy. They could be as high as a 6 seed or out of the tournament.
Wow.
So it's just, I guess that's just the way the dynamic of the conference is right now. You know, that sweep against Georgia State, that was big because, you know, they were under them. And then you have this ULM series, and ULM and the Cajuns were neck and neck for that you know, second to last spot in the West. So they have to go take care of business. That's the key. Mm-hmm. And what Coach Robichaud was talking about this week in his weekly press conference was the fact that, look, we have to continue to hit the ball and play the way we're playing, and hopefully our pitchers will continue to get better as well, because that's something that's been missing all year long, obviously, is the pitching has kind of it's disappeared. It's gone, come and gone, and it hasn't been as consistent as it has been in recent past. And the hitting caught up late in the year. So if they can get into that tournament, once you play tournament, get into the tournament, that's all you can ask for, and then you can go try and win that thing and set yourself up for maybe an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. It's a long shot, I'm not going to lie, but if they continue to play the way they have over the past like 2 weeks, that's a real possibility that they can get into the Sun Belt tournament. And then who knows what happens once you get into tournament play.
Has this been kind of a disappointing year for Cajun baseball? I mean, were expectations, you think, higher going into the year that they would be contending for the Sun Belt Championship?
I absolutely believe that this is a bit of a shocker. And not only for fans, I think I don't think Tony will ever admit this publicly, or maybe he would, but I think he probably feels that they had you know, all the guns firing, and this was going to be another one of those years where they could have something really special, because they were getting Gunner back. You know, at the start of this season, you know, you had Gunner, you had Daniel LaHare, you had, you know, all those guys. They were LaHare was battling the injury. Handsome Monica started off slow, but he has come on as of late. But they had all the pieces at the beginning of the year, and I think they were picked to win the West this year. So the expectation was there, but that, as Coach Robes will always tell you, that's based on what you did a year ago. It's mm-hmm. not based on what you have this year. I think the biggest hit, this is completely my opinion, but I think the biggest hit came when Gunner had inflammation in his left arm, left elbow, and that completely threw their season off the rails a little bit. And that to me was the key of them kind of, you know, trying to wobble instead of riding through the tracks smoothly. And I just feel like when that happened earlier this year, it happened early. I mean, I'm talking like, I want to say it was either the second or third week of the season, and right. Gunner couldn't go because of inflammation in his arm, and they didn't want to jeopardize his possible career at the next level. So I think that, coupled with injuries that happened early, and a lack of the pitching inconsistency, that completely contributed to a year that most people thought this team was going to be one of the best in the Sun Belt, and they have not turned out to be that thus far.
All right, George Faust, join us here on Bumper, or Jordy Holberg Show, talking Cajun softball and baseball. Thanks a lot, George. Appreciate the time. Have a good show tonight.
All right, Jeff. Thanks, man. Always a pleasure. And don't be a stranger.
Absolutely not. We will. I will not be a stranger. We still got to get lunch, George. We got to get lunch.
Yes, we do. All right. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. Thanks a lot, George. Appreciate it.
All right, man.
All right, that's all the time we have for the Jordy Holberg Show. We're getting set now to head to the Tap Room here in a few minutes. Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love for the next few hours. Should be a lot of fun. I want to thank my guests, Sharif Eishak, Ken Trahan, Kevin Falk, and, of course, the King, George Faust, for joining me on the Jordy Holberg Show, filling in for Jordy today. And, of course, Clint Domain running the show from the booth. He does a splendid job. I can never give you enough praise, Clint. You are the glue that keeps this station together.
I appreciate that, Jeff. I appreciate that. Can't wait him up. I believe you might be filling in next week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe Thursday, Friday. So we'll be back to have some more fun. But definitely. Thanks a lot, Clint. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All
man.
Right, now let's head to the Tap Room. Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. I'm Jeff Horchak saying God bless, take care, and remember to always play fair.